Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where Dr. Janine Krause, that's me, gives you, a health junkie, a weekly dose of tools to help you increase your energy and resilience to life stressors.
Hey, health junkies, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast. Today I'm interviewing Elizabeth Kristoff. She is the founder of Brain-Based Wellness, where she has a ton of amazing videos that can help you to align your body and your mind. Now, I tried out some of her video series, and holy cow, it was quite impressive. And for those of you with chronic neck tension, that like massage isn't working, acupuncture is not working, and you can't seem to get these like side muscles unlocked, this is the podcast for you. And for those of you who are super stressed and you're like, gosh, I do not know how to get out of fight or flight mode. It's interfering with my life. It's interfering with my athleticism. It's interfering with everything. This is the podcast for you.
The Health Fix Podcast is sponsored by Blue Blocks. That's B-L-U-B-L-O-X. Those guys are blue light blocking glasses. And let me tell you, I have been using their computer glasses for over a month now, and I have not had any headaches. I'm not feeling fatigued at the end of the day, and I am feeling great. That strain from me being on the computer and having these awful fluorescent lights above my head has gone away. So I challenge you to check out Blue Blocks, B-L-U-B-L-O-X today, and see what they can do for you.
Hey everybody, I have Elizabeth Kristoff today on the podcast. She's an expert in using applied neurology to help move people out of pain, unwanted behavior, and stress response. She's the founder of Brain-Based Wellness. That's an online platform that trains the nervous system and body to resolve old patterns, improve performance, and increase well-being. She's a certified applied neurology practitioner who has been in the movement and wellness industry since 2007. She works with folks from all walks of life to help them improve their connection from their brain to their body. And this is a big, big thing. And I can't wait to chat more with her to talk about how training your nervous system is an important part of your overall health, but an important part of helping you to manage stress effectively every single day. Let's get on with the podcast. Hello there, health junkies. I have a treat for you today. I have Elizabeth Kristoff on, and we are going to be geeking all out about nervous system things. And in particular, you guys have heard me say over and over again, the vagus nerve. We need to take care of that nerve, because if we don't take care of that nerve, we are going to have some troubles with chronic pain, chronic trauma stuff, chronic illness, and whatnot. So Elizabeth is here to talk all about her company, Brain-Based Wellness, in addition to talking about her exercises that are amazing, by the way. We will talk all about those and how it's so important to include the nervous system in your total plan for health. So Elizabeth, welcome to the Health Fix Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, this is a concept that a lot of folks don't necessarily think about. You know, as a naturopathic doctor, people come into me and they're like, hey, doc, you know, fix my problem. You know, I've got chronic pain. I have chronic illness. I'm, you know, just can't seem to get unstressed. And we go through acupuncture protocols. We go through breathing techniques. We do things of that nature. But it seems that we need to keep diving deeper and looking for what is it that set off the nervous system in the first place to get that bucket overflowing with stress and overwhelm. And how do we get from A to B, and how do we get to where we're at? So all of what you incorporate in Brain-Based Wellness is amazing stuff. And I kind of have to go to the beginning and be like, well, how did you get involved in applied neurology, and what brought you to the field of neurology in the first place?
Yeah. So I got involved in applied neurology originally for athletic performance and for pain management. I have been a mover my whole life. And I think without really even being aware of it, I used movement as a tool to help regulate myself. And it was something that saw me through a lot of the really challenging times of my life. And so from an early age, I was always a mover. And then I was driven to help other people, you know, connect to their own movement abilities. And so as an entrepreneur, I began a business, a Pilates and movement studio, when I was 24 years old, and had that business for about 12 years. And when we were developing our teacher training program, I knew that I wanted the brain to be involved in that. I knew that, you know, neuroscience was part of where movement science was going, and that there wasn't just a tight hip flexor. There was a brain that was telling your hip flexor to maintain a certain amount of tension, and that there was this whole operating system underneath that people weren't addressing when it came to strength, to flexibility, to athletic performance, and to pain. And so I started studying with a company called Z-Health, that is an applied neurology company, in 2015, and started weaving that into working with all of my clients to help them perform better athletically or to reduce chronic pain. And then I went through a series of events in my own life, you know, a couple of years later, around 2018, where I ended up losing that business. I dissolved my business partnership shares. That same week, my partner at the time was diagnosed, my romantic partner at the time was diagnosed with a rare cancer around his heart. And I went into being a full-time caretaker for him. And life just got really stressful from a bunch of different angles. And my nervous system started producing its own very severe outputs, like pain and dissociation, binge eating, chronic fatigue. I was just a mess. And I started to recognize in myself all of these signals that I saw in my pain clients, that I saw in my athletes. And I was looking at things from my background of understanding how the nervous system works and how it drives our life experience, our behavior, and our outputs. And I started realizing, man, there's so much more to training our nervous system than just athletic performance. It can be used to help resolve trauma, to change our behavior, to process stress, and that this operating system is really important to consider in all of that. And that took me onto a long healing road of using applied neurology to help heal myself, working with a bunch of different practitioners, somatic practitioners, applied neurology practitioners, different holistic practitioners, and really understanding that all of our behavior and our experience of life really comes from the health of our nervous system, not just our athletics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this is something that a lot of people don't necessarily, I think we just don't think about it, or maybe we're just not taught it really.
Yeah.
Nervous system inputs are constantly coming. But if there is some confusion in the nervous system, then we start to have, you know, compounding effects. Now, in one of your videos, you mentioned if there is, say, a foot or ankle injury, the body cannot sense as things start to come up, as the brain messages come up. And a lot of us have rolled our ankles over the years, or like stubbed our toe really bad as kiddos, but we might not think that that might be related to our back pain, or we might not think that that might be related to our overall chronic fatigue. Can you explain a little bit more about how those kind of things develop and can be contributed to things such as chronic pain or even stress, overwhelm, and binge eating? I mean, for a lot of people, I don't think they might associate an injury with how binge eating might have started or came about.
Yeah, absolutely. We're definitely not taught the whole systemic nature of our body and our nervous system. And it's just not as compartmentalized as we think. And then as we go through life, just like you were saying, you know, we have these injuries or issues that create deficits, unique deficits in our nervous system. And over time, the stress of those deficits leads to a nervous system that's experiencing more stress all the time. And then you start to move into more protective mode. So just like you mentioned, maybe I have an old ankle injury that I never properly rehabbed, or maybe just because I wear shoes all of the time, the joints in my feet don't get mobilized and my brain's map of where my foot is in space gets a little bit blurry. And then what happens is that every single step that I take is a little bit threatening to my nervous system and my brain, because my brain doesn't know exactly where my foot is going to land. Our system is always taking an input, using that input to generate predictions and then producing an output to keep us alive. And so if my brain map is a little bit blurry, then my brain starts to move into a protective mode. So it's going to try to make my steps a little bit smaller because that is safer when my map, when my body map is not clear. So you might start to experience a lot of tension in your hip flexors because from the top of the lever, it's going to start to try to make your steps smaller. That might also lead to low back pain. And then if you keep ignoring those other signals, what happens is our body speaks to us quietly at first, and then it gets louder and louder and louder, right? So as we build up these compensations and deficits, our body's sending us these signals, hey, we need to do something about this. Hey, this is stressful. And that stress builds up over time. The signals get louder, and then it can look like things like dissociation, migraine, chronic pain or more severe pain, binge eating, anxiety. All these are protective outputs. That's your brain's best tool to try to get you to interact with the world less, to get less stimulus coming in, because your old brain, not your prefrontal cortex, not your higher order thinking systems, but for your old brain in that moment, that is safer. And so if we can rehab that, if we can make your body map clearer and let each step become safe again, then your brain will not only give you more range of motion through your hip joint, because it trusts you to make quality movement, it'll give you less pain there. And then eventually less protective outputs and more performance outputs, because it's safe now. Your brain can do its primary job of making predictions better.
That's huge. The predictions things, I think we don't think about that. We're like, oh, we're constantly predicting what's going to happen. And I think on a big trauma level, because I talk a lot about trauma on the podcast, it's, you know, one of those things that we don't realize. You know, a lot of people come in and be like, I don't have any stress. I'm fine. Like everything's great. I just have this chronic injury, or I have this chronic neck tension. And one of the things I see, of course, that is tricky in my office is we will work on someone's neck, get it relaxed with acupuncture in the office and other techniques. And then they walk out, they're like, yeah, it was great for like a couple of days. And then I'm back to wearing my shoulders as earrings and doing this sort of thing. Have you seen in your work that chronic neck tension, if we do some of the exercises you were showing, like the vestibular exercises, some of the visual exercises, have you seen some change there?
Yeah, I think it's really important what you mentioned about how, you know, our brain will bring us back to the state where it feels safer, because our brain's primary job is our survival. And our old brain is always taking in all this information and deciding like safe and unsafe, and then generating an output based on that. And so, you know, if we're addressing the symptoms without also giving our nervous system and our brain the stimulation that it needs, it's very likely to recreate that pattern because that's how it feels safer. So, and that is one of the reasons that I created the membership site, is to let people develop a practice of daily training their nervous system, daily giving it the stimulus that you need. And just like you were talking about, like watching those little videos, I have a free video series on there that people can watch to get little exercises that you can really implement every single morning to make it a daily practice to train your nervous system to be more resilient, so that over time that pattern goes away. But our nervous system is malleable, and it's always changing in response to the stimulus that we give it. And so we can have agency over that stimulus coming in. And just like we train our muscles in the gym, you can make a practice of 5 to 10 minutes a day of nervous system training so that you're really starting to change some of the root causes, so that your nervous system actually functions better by getting the stimulus and that it needs, and by training the input systems, like you said, like your vestibular system, which is the balance system in your inner ear, or your visual system, or your body mapping system, to all the time be giving your brain higher quality input, higher quality information, so that it can do its primary job of making predictions better. Then the nervous system as a whole is under less threat on a second by second basis. And then you can really start to change those patterns.
I love that. And the fact that it's only 5 to 10 minutes each morning, because a lot of people are like, all right, how much of my life do I have to dedicate to this? But seriously, guys, you know, one of the really important things that Elizabeth brings up is we're talking about the visual, because a lot of us have impaired vision, you know, maybe from childhood, whatnot. But as we get older, we start to say, oh, my vision just isn't what it used to be. Could it be that that vision is declining due to stress, not just declining because we're getting older? Same thing goes with balance too. I think, you know, like we're saying, it's things we don't train, and we're staring at computers all day.
That's right. Yeah. I think the visual system, it's really neat. I have a lot of clients that their vision actually gets much better. They can start driving at night again. They don't have to use their glasses just by training their eyes to do the skills that our visual system is supposed to be able to do. But because many of us just sit and look at a computer screen all day long, that's a 13 inches or so away from our face. So we're not training like our distance vision. We're not training our peripheral vision. We're not moving our eyes in a bunch of different directions. And if we don't use it, we lose it. And those skills start to deteriorate. The nerves that innervate the visual system start to not get enough stimulus and use. And then as you mentioned too, stress can start to damage nerves and, cause problems with the nervous system. So you have all of that compounding to make your vision get worse. But if you start to train the skills that your eyes are supposed to be able to do, moving your eyes in different directions, practicing, training your peripheral system, practicing switching your gaze from near to far, not only does that give your brain a signal from the body up that you're not under threat to reduce your stress, because if I'm training my peripheral vision, I'm actually sending a signal to my brain like, hey, I'm not under threat right now, because when I'm under threat, my vision becomes very focused. And so if I'm expanding my vision to look beyond what's immediately in front of me, that's sending a very physiological signal to my body, to my brain, to my nervous system, like, hey, right now we're not under threat. So that's one great way to just reduce stress in that second, but it's also making the system get the stimulus that it needs to start to function better, to be used more through a variety of skills, so that you're actually training yourself into having better visual skills.
That's so huge. And, you know, something that we're not, you know, told by our eye doctor or anybody,
totally.
And so these are things that are extremely useful, because I think, you know, when I look at it, I'm like, how many of my patients have dizziness? How many of my patients have visual impairment? Or we'll talk about like, hey, I can't drive at night, or when it's super rainy, everything's super blurry. It's like, well, those are stressful situations on top of it. Or my vision gets blurred when I'm stressed out.
Yes. I get a lot of clients that come with, they start to get tunnel vision or blurry vision when they're experiencing stress, migraines. And so by training their visual system, you know, yes, you have the benefit of like, wow, I can read clearer without my glasses on, or I can see further, I can drive at night. But then also there's, you know, the impact that it has on the system as a whole. If I, you know, the vision is at the top of the neural hierarchy, which just means that our brain thinks that that information is really important, because it uses the information coming in from our eyes as a large part of how it makes predictions. And so if that whole system is functioning better, then our brain feels a lot safer making predictions all of the time. Our nervous system feels safer all of the time. And then maybe we are less emotionally reactive. Maybe we push ourselves less into a state of hypervigilance or a high stress state, or even a freeze state, because our nervous system is under less stress, because on a second by second basis, it's easier to know what's going on in the world around us, where our body is in space, and to, again, make those predictions that our brain wants to do really well to keep us alive.
That was well said. I can't even say much of that other than like, yes, we all need this. Like, we need to sign up right now. So let's talk a little bit more about your video sequence, because of course that's, you know, what you're offering for free right now for folks. And we'll get you guys the link, and it'll be in my podcast notes at drjcarlsond.com. But let's talk about these videos, because I went through the whole series because I wanted to see what they're all about. And I found them fascinating and stuff that, you know, I hadn't really done before. Nothing, you know, everything was different, because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, we're going to be doing balance drills, we're going to be doing that. I'm like, no, this is completely different. So tell us a little bit about your video series and what we're going to see in there, what we're going to go through.
So the video series is really designed first to teach people how to be the expert of their own nervous system, because when you do these exercises, everybody's nervous system is really different and unique. And so you need to be able to assess and reassess, like, is this affecting me in a positive way, or is this too much stimulus for my nervous system? And how do I know that? How does applied neurology even work? Because most people haven't even heard of applied neurology, right? And so applied neurology is basically just taking the latest in brain science and making it into really practical neuro exercises that people can use on a daily basis to train their nervous system, to train the different parts of their nervous system to function better. And so the video series will teach you how to recognize signs of threat in your own body or recognize if an exercise affects your nervous system positively. And then they also teach you 5 of the drills that I found work really well for a large number of my clients. So there, again, there will always be some people that like, that's not the right drill for you. But for a lot of people that I've worked with, these are some really high payoff drills where very quickly people usually notice, wow, I have better range of motion. I feel a little bit more calm after doing this. I can exercise and I feel a little bit stronger. And those are all ways to tell that, man, this is stimulus that my brain needs. This is stimulus that my nervous system likes. And if I do this daily, important areas of my brain, important nerves, maybe like my vagus nerve, are getting more stimulus and my body and my brain like that. So I should keep doing this.
I like it. I like it. So let's talk a little bit about athletes, because I do have a lot of those folks who listen to my podcast, or even weekend warriors or folks who just love to geek out in the gym. Now, if someone has chronic pain that they find that happens, you know, with a certain exercise, or they're kind of pushing through some chronic pain with working out, would these exercises be the thing to do like right before the morning before? How do you integrate them into?
Yeah. So I think the best way to integrate them is whenever people will really do them. So I kind of let people decide, like, do I want to do this in the morning? But in general, yes, just like that, I would do it right before you work out so that you're bringing your nervous system into an optimal state before you work out. The way that pain is viewed from an applied neurology perspective is sometimes pain is an acute injury. And if it is, you probably need to lay off, right? There's something going on, go see your doctor. But a lot of times, if you have pain that lingers for a really long time or it migrates around, it's a signal from your brain that your brain is just under too much stress, too much threat. And it's trying to get you to reduce the intensity of stimulus coming in because it doesn't feel safe. And so if we can make your brain feel safer by training the nervous system, then you will no longer experience that output of pain. And you will be able to do your workouts, be able to do the things that you want to do in life without having that protective output of pain. So if you can give your nervous system the stimulus that it needs, not only will you experience less pain in the workout, but as you start to experience those movements without pain, you're also teaching your brain that it's safe. And that in applied neurology, there's a saying like, all you need is one good rep, mm-hmm. One good pain-free rep to teach your brain, hey, this is possible without pain. And the more of those you accumulate, the less you move into that pain pathway, the less of a well-worn pathway that pain pattern becomes. And the more you can have a new, different experience that becomes the norm over time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. When you were mentioning about the one good rep without pain, I was thinking about myself in particular. I'm going to talk about just because I have a great example for it. I love lifting heavy weights. I love, you know, all the barbell kind of stuff. And for me, I've struggled with barbell deadlifts for a very long time. I couldn't go over a certain amount of weight because I would have pain. And then once I was able to get above a little bit of higher weight without pain, I was like, oh, okay, I could do this. Then I get to this one spot that's just like my end stop point, because a little bit of pain, all of a sudden I'm shaking, my nervous system's like, this isn't good. And so I wonder too, if these drills would be useful for someone that's like my situation where, you know, we get to a certain point and then we have the pain.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times what I do in my own practice and with my private clients is, you know, there's those places we reach our capacity. And so right before that exercise, I would do 2 or 3 really high payoff drills, 2 or 3 things that my nervous system responded really well to. And for example, most of my life, I've never been able to do pull-ups. I have very small forearms. I'm very like, my lower body is much more dense than my upper body. It just wasn't something that I thought I could do. I have very bad grip strength. And the first weekend, this was years and years ago, that I went to go do the first level of the applied neurology training, we did just a ton of body mapping, a ton of stimulating the mechanoreceptors in each of the joints and moving all the joints through their complex ranges of motion. And at the end of the training, I just looked up at this bar and I didn't even think too much about it. And I just had the compulsion to jump up and grab it. And I just did 5 pull-ups like it was butter, like it was nothing. Wow. And it was just this moment where I realized, oh my, I have the capacity to do it. My brain just has to believe that it's okay for me to do that. We can generate a tremendous amount of strength, but our brain inhibits what we're capable of to the extent that it feels safe doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's huge. Now, one of the other things I was thinking about while you were mentioning that is the concept of frozen shoulder. So adhesive capsulitis, for those of you who I want to geek out here. We've done x-rays and yes, you can see the inflammation, but it's like the shoulder goes up and then there's just this lack of movement over it. Let's geek out a little on this. Have you worked with some folks with frozen shoulder and how does
definitely
that-
Definitely. So a lot of times I start with really simple body mapping for the hands, for the forearms, and that can look like just sensory stimulus, just closing your eyes, rubbing your hand. This is where my hand is in space, maybe vibration on the hand, trying to reconnect the brain to the lower part of the limb so that, again, your brain feels safer moving your hand, moving your arm through a fuller range of motion. And then sometimes doing specific nerve glides for like the brachial plexus, just to help the conductivity of those nerves. But then a lot of times it comes down to a completely different issue. Something is going on with the balance system inside of their inner ear, or they have trouble with a certain visual skill that needs to be addressed. And when we can start to rehab that specific skill, it makes a huge impact in their nervous system's overall sense of well-being, because it's been causing a lot of problem, a lot of threat for their nervous system. And so if we can rehab that, all of a sudden, their brain will immediately unlock their shoulder, because now it's fine. It's fine to move through the full range of motion.
And this is a huge factor, because I feel like a lot of people end up with frozen shoulder when they're kind of like at their limits of stress, and especially ladies that are kind of in the menopause stages where the body's just trying to figure things out. Where is it? And where is it hormonally? So this is incredible stuff for folks. You know, you guys, if you're listening and you have frozen shoulder, or you have lingering symptoms from frozen shoulder, because it seems like sometimes you get the shoulder moving, but there's always like that certain amount of like, I can't brush my hair or blow dry my hair kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's a very good example of a protective output of the brain when it's under too much stress. And that can come from hormonal changes. It can come from life stress, financial stress, emotional stress. It can come from unresolved trauma and being stuck in a state of hypervigilance and, or hypoarousal for too long, and or it can come from overtraining. But the point, you know, there's all these different things that can cause the stress. But if at a very physiological level, we can reduce the stress by looking at and targeting these input systems, then we can make an effect on the shoulder, even if I can't do anything about the financial stress or the relational stress. But it, at a physiological level, we can change that, and then your brain will change the output.
I think that's a huge thing to make, you know, make folks aware of, like, yeah, we can't get rid of all of your stress in life. There's certain things you have to deal with, of course, but if we can lower what the body's perceiving as threats, we can help you manage stress more effectively over time.
That's right. That's right. And a lot of the deeper healing, like a lot of my deeper trauma healing that came after that time of severe stress in my life, that time actually ended up leading me back to a lot of my childhood trauma that was totally unresolved, because the felt sense inside was the same. And it, so it brought me back. I started experiencing flashbacks and really reliving a lot of that trauma and had to heal it. But I've found that the first step in doing a lot of that deeper work is creating safety in the body first, because I can't do the emotional processing. I can't do Even some of the somatic work, or even dropping from my head into my body to feel the signals that my body is sending me. If I'm in this heightened state of not feeling safe, even in my own body, in this dissociated state. And so if I can use applied neurology to, on a very practical physiological level, create a felt sense of safety in the body and regulate the nervous system, just by doing simple stimulus, then it becomes more possible not only to get more range of motion through your joints or to train differently, but to do some of the deeper healing work that allows you to expand your life in a different way because you feel safe and regulated enough to do it.
That's a huge concept, is feeling safe in your body and feeling safe with movement, feeling safe with, you know, just trusting yourself. I think this is a huge issue with trauma. It's a huge issue too, if we go into eating disorders and things of that nature. Now, I'm curious about the binge eating component, because it's something that I have a lot of patients. I myself love to emotionally eat and want to connect that a little bit here for some folks that might be listening going like, okay, now I get the movement, I get the pain, but I don't get how I connect in the binge eating component of things.
This was a huge moment of understanding for me, because I've been a binge eater my whole life. You know, as far back as I can remember, I have binged. And so in this time of really high stress, the binging got really bad, really painful. And as I was studying further into my applied neurology courses, I really started to learn about the interoceptive system, which is the system that tells your brain what's going on inside of your body. So, you know, we have like our proprioceptive system, which gives us a body map. We have our extraceptive system, which tells us about the world around us. And then we have our interoceptive system, which is like, hey, this is what's happening in your guts. This is what's, you know, happening with your heart. And it relays all of that information to your brain. And our vagus nerve is a key player in that system. And I learned that a lot of people with eating disorders or PTSD or complex PTSD have interoceptive dysfunction. And what happens is that our brain starts to predict too much threat from the signals coming inside the body where there isn't any. It's that sense of waking up with your heart racing, that sense of like impending doom right when you wake up, when really it's just the same day over again, right? Nothing exceptionally threatening is happening that day. You're going to see your clients, you're going to drive here, you're going to do the same thing you always do, but it doesn't feel safe. And that's just our brain misinterpreting the amount of threat coming in from our organs and from our heart and from our internal system. And I started to look more and more into that, and realizing too that I was also very stuck in these cycles between a sympathetic nervous system response, which is fight and flight, too much arousal, too much threat. And then I would, you know, cycle right into that, into a freeze state of hypoarousal, where I experienced a lot of brain fog, shutdown, extreme fatigue. And I was with a partner at the time, my partner that had cancer, and he also had complex PTSD and also experienced a lot of autoimmune after his cancer surgery. And I started reading all of these books to try to understand what was going on inside of his body. Complex PTSD by Pete Walker, or Waking the Tiger, The Body Keeps the Score. And I started understanding how dangerous a dysregulated nervous system is for so long, right? That pumping out all that cortisol all the time damages the blood vessels, it damages the nerves. And I began to understand that our brain and our nervous system will try to drive things to regulate us, because staying stuck in that state of chronic stress is dangerous and leads to a diseased state. And so what's one great way to move me out of that heightened state of sympathetic response, that fight and flight, hyper arousal state, is to eat a bunch of food, because it will give my vagus nerve and my interoceptive system a lot of stimulus, which is lacking. And it will also move me into more of a calm and respond, rest and digest state, which my body desperately needed to get out of that high stress state. And so my binge eating was really my brain's best way to protect me, to get me out of that state that I needed to be regulated out of, and to give important areas of my brain and my interoceptive system stimulus that they needed to stay healthy, active, and alive. And so until I had new tools to give, like my insular cortex and my vagus nerve, the stimulus that they needed and to regulate my nervous system, I really couldn't stop binge eating. And if I did, it was kind of dangerous.
Yeah. No, I think this is huge because if that's your only outlet to find calm and we try to take that away, I can see how things start to crash down. And I have seen with certain folks who are in programs that are not including the neurological aspect of this, there is a lot of pain coming up, lots of other things that start to surface because we've taken away the coping mechanism.
Yep. I would, if I did not have that, and I've seen this with some of my clients too, when we didn't get them enough tools prior to them just trying to stop the behavior, they would start to experience pretty severe chronic pain or migraines or other protective outputs of the brain, trying to keep them regulated, safe, calm, and protecting them the best way that our brain could. So most of our behaviors are really our brain and our nervous system's best bet to either get us the stimulus that we need or to keep us regulated in the way that we need. And so there was a moment where I really realized, like, wow, my body and my nervous system have this deep high intelligence, and they have been keeping me alive. I knew other people that did not have food, that had been through the same amount of trauma, similar trauma as myself in their early childhood, which was pretty severe, pretty high A score adverse childhood experience. And they got really sick. And I really believe that because I had food as a tool to regulate myself, I was able to stay pretty high functioning. And that doesn't mean I wanted to do that forever. It got really painful. It wasn't, you know, how I wanted to live, but I also saw that, like, it served its purpose for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really important to highlight it that way, because so many people are struggling, especially now. I've noticed, you know, with the pandemic, there's a huge increase in a lot of folks struggling with stress, struggling with overwhelm. Where's this, you know, where's the US going in particular? What's happening in the world? What are we going to do? It's an important time to really take a step back and spend some time with your nervous system.
Yeah, it's a pretty traumatic time for a lot of people. And change is threatening to the nervous system all the time, whether it's good or bad change, again, because we use pattern recognition to make predictions to keep us alive. And so any change is threatening. And we've all been under a period of intense change and just so much threat coming at us all the time that I think we do really need tools to help us regulate ourselves. And, you know, there are deeper reasons for a lot of disordered eating, emotions underneath there, and old subconscious scripts, but none of that can really be unearthed until we first can feel safe not engaging the behavior and regulate ourselves enough to address that stuff differently.
I think that's really important, feeling safe in your body. A lot of people are asking me over and over again, like, yeah, doc, I know I'm super stressed out, or I know my vagus nerve is out of balance. What do I do? What do I do? And typically it's been going down breathing exercises, finding fun, doing things of that nature. I didn't think of neurological based, you know, exercises. So this is a great addition to my practice, but also I think it's a great addition to someone's life in general. So folks can find your videos at brainbased-wellness.com, correct?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And you can just sign up for the free video series there and just get started with just a few minutes a day and see how your body responds to it. It's just another tool in the toolkit, but I feel like we could all use a lot of tools right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now you do mention, you know, going slower if you notice some negative side effects, or you can take it to the next level if you're not noticing as much benefit. Will say someone goes through it and they start doing it. How many weeks do you recommend, you know, before, I know we're reassessing after every one, how many weeks do we go through these before we go, okay, they need to contact you and get in touch with you to do some higher level stuff?
Yeah. So I think our brain does need novel stimulus, and it's important that that stimulus keep changing. Everyone's kind of different. So some people, the drills will last for a while to keep making a difference. And then other people, their brains, usually if they're more athletic, your brain gets bored with stuff quicker. So it needs new stimulus faster. And so then I also offer 2 free weeks membership on the site, and I am on there live every day doing nervous system training, doing somatic movement. And so once you're on the membership site, you're getting novel stimulus all of the time. And you also have the opportunity to ask me questions. I mean, part of the reason I love to go on live every day is because I like to train my own nervous system every day, and it keeps me accountable, keeps me in the work. But it's a great way to keep in the work, to do it with community, and to keep getting new stimulus for your brain too.
Perfect. So it's kind of like an online workout, you know, like you have a workout membership page, but in this case, it's for your nervous system as a whole.
That's right. That's right.
Super cool. That's really awesome. I think a lot of folks can benefit from that as well. And they can access that straight through your website, brainbase-wellness.com, correct?
Yep. That's the best place to find me.
Perfect. And if folks want to work one-on-one with you, same thing in that department.
Same thing. Yep.
Excellent. Now, are you on Instagram? Are you on Facebook? Where else can folks find you?
I'm on Instagram at EL Kristoff, K-R-I-S-T-O-F. And I do have little videos of drills there too, and different podcast interviews that I'm on and stuff like that. So that's probably the best other place to find me is on Instagram.
Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing such huge information with folks.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be here.